Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I'm bringing to you some nuggets of truth that I have discovered in the Word of God over the years to be absolutely true. I've also discovered this, that we can love the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more we love him, the more he loves us, and the more he is revealed in the lives that we live. Now, the basic study is in Romans, and that's where I was some weeks ago when I took off on a tangent to talk about the Lord Jesus. And I want to talk about the Lord Jesus because everybody that I come across in the political arena of our country, and some in the spiritual arena of preachers, there seems to be a lack of understanding of who Jesus is, what Jesus did. And the word gospel is thrown around. Being born again is just chucked around as an expression. And we should be a little more careful of the way we use these expressions. And I want to put in a simple manner as I possibly can into your hearts the desire to be a group of people who are loving the Lord Jesus Christ and his name being above every name. We should bow and cherish his name. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is wonderful. Jesus is the companion that comes with us and stays with us and never goes away. He holds us in the most terrifying moments of our lives. The news has been broadcast in this country, and I suppose round the world, that a young 26-year-old woman has been slaughtered by the Islamics and has been martyred, if you like, in a sense. We don't know the details, at least I don't know the details of her slaughter, but I do know this, that the Lord Jesus in Revelation says there will be a gathering of the heads of those that lose their heads for his sake, and there will be a gathering of those people under the altar. And I'm not exactly sure what that is, where that is, and how that is, but I am exactly sure of this, that he never breaks his word. So that dear young woman who loved the Lord Jesus and was expressing that love in helping those that were in great need. A friend of mine, a dear, dear friend, John Ramey, has just returned from Jordan, and I asked him in the brief moments I had with him on Sunday past, I asked him the question, what's it like over there? And he said, it's just chaotic. The words that he used were very, very guarded. We have to be careful what we say because these people don't seem to understand ordinary courtesies and so on. And their civilization is back several hundred years. It is a shame that our leaders in this country are not telling the truth. They try to make something out of nothing. But a good history lesson on the Crusades would get some of them straightened out, apparently, because they're using the illustration that dreadful things happened in the crusading times under the auspices of Christianity. And whereas in some ways that is completely true, it depends of what part of Christianity you're talking about. And it depends upon the revival of the heart of man. Let's look just for a moment. When the Roman Catholic Church was boring its way through the Middle East, just as it had in South America and other places, it had a no-win situation. And God was the God of fury and unjustified wrath. If you read the scriptures, and you should again, read these wonderful events in the various gospels and discover that Jesus never once was violent. Jesus was never once in this vengeance way of thinking. And the thing that must shatter all of Islam is that Jesus said through his Holy Spirit, through the Apostle James, as he wrote the little letter of James, he said, you know, God is love. Now, anything that falls short of that falls short of the message of the gospel. And the gospel message is that the love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. It reaches to the highest star and down into the lowest hell. We have to understand God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and all with their repentance receive the blessing of the presence of God and the Holy Ghost, and that they are lifted up into a new life, and we become all one in Christ Jesus. All the things that separate us in our thinking are just wiped away with this scripture, because we are one in Christ. And it doesn't matter if I was brought up in one group or another. My background was Baptist, and I was carried to the Baptist church before I was born, and carried there when I was born, and I lived for the first 18 years of my life in the Baptist church. And I was indoctrinated into the Baptist church, of course, because that's all I knew. But then came a time when I was in the army in England, and I had to make a decision or two. And I found that all the people going to heaven were not Baptists. And there were several who had strange ideas to me, but they were nonetheless born again Christians, and I had fellowship with them. It wasn't very long before I reached the place where I was asked to remove myself from a certain Baptist church because I was too fanatical and I was too involved in the Word of God, and it wasn't necessary to be, and I quote, so religious. And it was then that my father offered me the opportunity to work with him in his factory, and I would have been the heir and inheritor of a very nice income and all that sort of thing. And he made it very attractive to me that I should work for him. And I had to say to him, I will not work for you. I have been called to the ministry of the gospel, and to the ministry of the gospel I go. And he was very, in one sense, disappointed. In another sense, he was very proud and pleased. And it seemed an incredible thing to him that God would look after me. Well, God did. God has. But through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, it should always be in the name of Jesus. We approach the eternal throne of God. And as we approach that eternal throne, so that we are not blistered with the beautiful holiness of the throne of God and cause so much pain in our souls as a result of being arrogant, I suppose, of coming straight to God. But we can come straight to God with our prayers, with our supplications, with our meditations, and we can ask and receive. We can seek and we can find and we can knock, and God opens the doors to us when we do those things. Always there is an answer to prayer. Always. It may be no. That may be the answer we get for praying. And yet, invariably, it's yes. But let's go this way to achieve it. And the Lord guides our lives and we live in peace. I'm in perfect peace with God. I can sing with the hymn writer, it is well with my soul. How dare I be so arrogant? I dare because Jesus has made available to me his presence in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills my heart. And my heart is overflowing with the joy of the Lord. and the presence of Jesus is with me all day long, every day. Now let's listen to what Jesus says in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. If you would flick through the pages of your Bible, if you have the time, do that please, and understand with me. The Lord Jesus is speaking in verse 1 of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Let's look at this for a moment. Jesus is saying many people have a religious experience. Many people have all kinds of religious relationships, if you like. They have movements within their hearts and souls at different times in their lives. Now, I made a bit of a joke about this in my last program, and I said to you that when we're hatched, matched, and dispatched are the three times we certainly go to church. And I still believe that. But it's more than just hatched, matched, and dispatched. It's more than just that birth and marriage and burial that we should be involved in the things of the church. It is my conclusion, having listened to many, many, many people who feel that they have a gift from God and they should be the ones that officiate at such gatherings, it is my opinion that they are misled. For if we're not called, we have no message to live by, and we have no message to pronounce. We have no gospel. And I have said to you repeatedly in the last few weeks, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now here is some good news, and Jesus is talking about it. He says, if you want peace, come through me. Now, if we come through the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the purest of attitudes. And I believe that we need to repent. I believe with all my heart that we need to believe the words of Jesus. Never mind all the other remarkable things that we learn from the Bible. If there's no repentance, there is no understanding of the living God. Look at your heart today and look at the sin that has accumulated in the few years you've lived. You may have reached the 70 years, which is, I suppose, 70 years old. And yet the accumulation is not of the Lord Jesus, it's of your opinion. Or it may be that you have a collective understanding of the work that the church has done. That's all in the past. Most of it is rubbish. And most of the dear men that laid down their lives in the Crusades didn't achieve very much at all, except to irritate the people that lived a different way. Now, it was righteousness, self-righteousness, and the desire to eradicate the things that were not of God, and for the work of the Holy Spirit to be freed, that these men stood in the gap, and they stood firmly. And with their swords and their shields, and they had no guns at all, with their knives and their armor and their horses and all that sort of thing, they went to war against something that they felt was anti-Christian. Today, we call that anti-Christianity a peaceful religion. It's okay to call it what you like, but the religious people who are quote-unquote Christian are in jeopardy. And we are in jeopardy because we have not been faithful to Jesus Christ our Lord. And there needs to be in Christendom today repentance. Repentance. You know, one of the things that bothers me is that some of our leadership tell us that they are Christian But then they go into a different world and they say, well, America is no longer a Christian nation. America never was a Christian nation any more than Great Britain was, because there was only a relative few who repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The others who had religious experiences had all sorts of things to talk about that sounded Christian and seemed to be Christian. I have friends who have been serving amongst the refugees in the Middle East for some years, and they have worked and they have got themselves physically into difficulty because the maladies that they have managed to pick up, the illnesses that have spread amongst them, and the deprivations that these people have suffered, they all accumulate. And we say, what a Christian he was. No, that is not the signal. Did he repent? Did he believe in the stories of Jesus? Did he believe the sayings of Jesus? Did he believe that Jesus died, Jesus rose, and he went to heaven and ever lives to make intercession for us? In other words, Jesus lives in his heart. That makes him a Christian. Now, I can be very clever and go to Oxford or Cambridge, Harvard or wherever. I can become a university student and I can become a man of great letters and accolades of this, that and the other. What is my value? Let's start right at the beginning. If I have not repented, if I have not believed, if I have not received Christ as my Savior, I'm as lost as the lost can be. Listen to the words of Jesus. Verse 1 of this beautiful chapter 10 of John, he says, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Now, a thief kills. A robber steals. A thief is violent, and the robber is kind of silent. So there's a lot of sneakiness that goes on, and that's going on today. If a leader of our country stands and lies to us bold-faced, and we accept that as truth, then we are bigger fools than we should be. We should be able to see truth in all its variety and understand that, listen to the word of God, God hates liars. Now, he doesn't dislike them. He hates them. He doesn't sort of say, oh, you go and sit in that corner until you're a good boy, until you do the right things. God hates our lying, whether it's international lying or national lying, local or some scattered thing that we do. Don't lie. Don't lie. God hates liars. And we need to pull in the reins of our lives and recognize that we have accumulated a lot of lying, a lot of exaggeration that does not count with God one bit. It's just rubbish. Now, I hear Christians saying all sorts of things, trying to say that we're better Christians than the Christians down the road, or we're better taught than the ones up the street. It doesn't matter what we think we are. It's what we are that counts. So have you repented of sin? And just this one thing, is the lying in your life eradicated? Is it checked? Has God put his thumb upon it and eradicated it from your soul? Before you tell a lie, there's usually a little checkpoint in your mind, and you can go on and tell the lie, or you can stop and say, I'm sorry, I can't continue this conversation. Let's change the subject. We can go in a different direction. We do not have to lie. God is very concerned that we live as unto him. Now, the only way you can get into this mode of thinking is to enter by the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. You can't come to God the Father by any other means. You can bring in your hand, your checkbook, and say, well, look how many millions of dollars I have given to the work of the Lord Jesus. That is not salvation. You can say, I have given my life to helping the poor. That is not salvation. And what we're seeking and needing more than anything else at this time in the political life and the ordinary life of the people of this country is this. We need to be born again. How can we be born again? Why, said Jesus to Nicodemus, are you so well versed in the things of the scriptures? Are you a man who understands all the intricacies of the word of God, and yet you have not been born again? It's easy to understand the systems. It's easy to accept what other people say. I heard one preacher say, there are many roads to God. God is the pinnacle of the mountain, but you can come to God in any way you like, just so long as you get up the mountain. What rubbish is that? You cannot. Better that we fall upon our knees and beat our breasts and weep and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. And I bow before you, wash me that I shall be white as snow, create within me a clean heart. Please, please, O God, renew a right spirit within me. It should be the cry of the sinner, and I am a sinner. I need to repent of my sin. I need to believe the good news. And Jesus said, I go back to this first verse again. He said, I am the door of the fold. But those that climb up some other way, he's a thief. He's a robber. He may do it with stealth, or he may do it by murder. If we lead people astray, we have done a very great disservice to the things of God. Now notice that Jesus goes on, he who enters by the door is a shepherd to the sheep. Now we can get to working. Now the Christian can get his gloves on and get to work because he's repented. He believes these stories of Jesus. He believes the word of God. And to him, the word of God is inerrant. To him, the word of God is full of the glory and presence of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And to him, it is the word of God that goes out in the fullness of truth. That's what makes us preachers excited. Now to him, verse 3, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Out of what? Out of the temptation. Deliver us, said Jesus, when he was asked to teach the disciples to pray, deliver us from temptation. Deliver us. Oh, sure, you're going to be tempted. And sure, the temptations are going to be there. And the old temptations will break through somehow. All the strength you have, you can't hold off the advance of temptation upon your soul. Because Satan is very subtle. And he comes in all sorts of dresses and disguises. But understand this, that when the doorkeeper opens the door, the sheep hear his voice. Sheep hear his voice. And when they hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I've said here before, I want to say it again now. God does not shout from the heavens, hey, you down there. He calls us by name, by name. And we need to understand that there is a name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. And you and I can call him by name. So it's in the name of Jesus that we ask our prayers. We leave our petitions before the Lord Jesus. We go to the foot of the cross. We sacrifice our lives so that the Lord Jesus is glorified, not in what we do, not even what we are, but how he can show himself through us. I am redeemed. That is a wonderful expression. And I am redeemed because God so loved me that he gave himself for me. And notice the Lord Jesus in verse 4 says, he puts forth his own sheep. That is, he sends his children, the person that has repented and is believing him. He puts forth his own and he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I heard the voice, says the hymn writer, of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And the confession is, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. The beauty of the gladness, the beauty of the joy of the Lord is this, that we don't have to follow the stranger and we don't have to follow those that are corrupt and telling lies. What we have to do, verse 5 tells us, we need to flee from him because we do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, he swings the door widely open. There's a beautiful hymn called The Holy City, and it was written about 100 and some years ago. Once again, the earth was changed, says the writer of the lyric, new earth there seemed to be, and the Son of God was on the gates of this new Jerusalem, and the gates were open wide. There is a way to God. There is a living way to God. There is a certain way to God. There is a privileged way to God. There is a way to God that you and I may take. And the gates are open wide. But, said Jesus, those gates cover a narrow way. So he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will rest you. I will rest you. I have to say, in closing, I need that Lord Jesus, don't you? And that's the good news. That's the gospel. There it is in front of you. Do something about it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that like sheep who've gone astray, we may be culled into the fold, enter through the door, go in and out and find pasture, and find the nourishment of our souls in Jesus Christ our Saviour. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening.